everybody. Welcome to Is This a Ghost? I'm Sick. And every week, I tell a real ghost story from real history to my real friend, Patrick Dean, who seems healthy as a horse.
I'm not sick. Yeah. I am healthy as several horses. Big horses.
Ew.
With a lot of hair on their hooves. Mm-hmm. The big ones.
The Clydesdales?
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's me.
Clydes?
Mm-hmm.
You're strong as seven Clydes.
Exactly. When I walk into work in the morning, people say, did a horse just walk in here? And I'm like, no.
Did seven horses in a very small t-shirt just walk in here? No. No, that's Patrick.
His t-shirt used to be bigger. Okay. I don't know what happened.
Oh, boy.
Some sort of horse magic. Mm-hmm.
It's the best kind of magic. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks. I showed back up again. I figured we could do this another week.
Speaking of timelines. Flawless segue. Mm-hmm. Let's do it really quickly. So, you know, we've got now.
Shit.
Okay. 2 weeks until the recording of the Halloween episode.
Okay. All right.
Less than 2 weeks.
I'm going to set a reminder. I'm going to set a reminder right now. What day?
We're recording October. Well, we're recording October 20th.
Okay. So October 19th. Reminder. Uh-huh. Research. That's how that's spelled. Research. Mm-hmm. I tag. Show.
Yeah. Now Jen Swanson has. Mm-hmm. She continues to remind me to remind you that her services are available.
And as much as I appreciate that, it is so much funnier if I do a half-assed job at the last moment. Uh-huh. Okay, so 20th we record. I'm going to set this reminder for a week from today. Yes.
Oh, well, that's a good idea.
Yeah, that sounds right. That's doable.
Yeah.
That feels like a bit of a stretch goal, but I think we'll get there.
Okay, we'll see. We will see. Anything good happening in your week?
Just a nice room temperature glass of cognac. That's the only thing good happened in my life.
Cognac.
Oh, it's the only thing I could find.
Cognac guy now.
It's the only thing I could find down here. It was for like a Thanksgiving recipe last year. Mm. And the bottle is still shoved inside of the grocery shelves.
It's better than shoved inside the turkey.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Well, that's good. Cognac. That's fun. That's fun for you.
It's fine.
I have a hot toddy.
Ooh. You could make that with cognac if you wanted to.
You could. That's true. That's mm-hmm. true. Not a bad way to go.
Quite good.
We didn't celebrate Thanksgiving here last year, though. So
I have really?
No cognac in the house.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah. Well, we celebrated.
Are
Thanksgiving,
you that much
not
of...
here?
Oh, okay. Okay, never mind. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You're not you're not that far gone.
I mean, I did vote for Kamala,
right.
But I'm not like not celebrating Thanksgiving. That's sort of like my political ideology.
Yeah. Yeah. There's blood on my hands, but there's also turkey on my table. I get it.
That's
get it.
That's right. That's right.
I get it.
I'm at peace. Mm-hmm. I'm at peace. I'll tell you one quick story about my week.
Oh, yeah.
And it is this. So I learned the new most humbling thing that a man can do, at least a 42-year-old man.
Mm-hmm.
The most humbling thing a man can do is to touch a basketball for the first time in 20 years at the YMCA.
Ooh.
Because that's what I did last week.
You didn't do this in front of anybody, did you?
I did in front of all the people. Here's the way that this basketball court is set up at my local Y, which we just joined. And listen, I love a good Y. Go support your local
love
Y.
Love it. Love the village people. Love everything love about it.
The one thing I love about Trump is when he does the dance. That's mm-hmm. that's it.
Who doesn't love it?
Yep, it's for everyone. Mm-hmm. But so we joined the Y recently, and so I went. I was like, you know what? I used to play basketball. I used to be pretty good at basketball.
Yeah, and you're like stupidly tall. So everyone's
I'm
gonna
so tall.
They're going to be asking you the whole time you're there anyway.
Right, so I might as well just get on the court.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but I haven't touched a basketball in probably 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably been about 2 decades, and so I'm not as good as right now as I once was. I'm sure it'll come back to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I went out there, and so I made a few mistakes here. Number one, our basketball court there is set up such that it's got not only it has the track around it,
yes,
the walking track, right?
Yep.
Of course,
people above
are just
it.
Like going. No.
Oh, on same the same
floor,
level.
Same level.
Mm, I don't
You've
like
got
that.
Nets hanging down separating, but they are. They're right there.
Sure.
Yeah, they're right there. And they're thinking, I am at the same level of ground to net as you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I see. This was not a trick of the eyes. You airballed that one. And the last several. So I got that going on. It's like all these people walking around. And then the next room is the weight room. It's like the ellipticals and the weights. Like that's where all the machinery, all the workout
right.
thing is. Wall of windows.
Excellent.
And so everyone in there also looking out. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, well, this is a good opportunity for me to just go shoot a few hoops.
With my boys.
With my boys, my imaginary boy. Mm-hmm. I call that one Patrick because it makes me feel better.
This bag of leaves over here, I call it Jen.
So I got there. Now, before I did this, I wasn't going to shoot around. I went to the gym. I ran on the treadmill. I did like a couple miles. And then I did some weight stuff on the machine. So I'm like,
wow. Okay.
So I was jacked.
Sure. Absolutely.
As you can probably tell. But then after I'm like, you know what? I'm on a roll. I feel pretty good. I'm going to go just shoot around a little bit. Mm-hmm. The problem with lifting weights when you're like me and almost never do that mm-hmm. is your arms immediately don't work like they should anymore. I didn't account for that. And so I went out there and I was shooting, and I would have been bad anyway. I'm not trying to blame it on mm-hmm. the weights.
It seems like a lot of excuses here.
I would have had fewer air balls, I think, if not for the overly ambitious mm-hmm. weights mm-hmm. prior to. And so it went real bad, and it was very humbling experience. And I got a lot of looks from a lot of very fit people, and they just looked sad.
Mm-hmm. But you're just on the court, by yourself. Not a game.
Well, there was
not a game of pickup. Nothing like that.
In a game of pickup, I could camouflage it because then I could like shove people over and stuff and be like, "Well, he doesn't shoot very well, but right. he's so aggressive."
Yes,
we love
but the
that.
Picks. I love the picks.
Love the picks.
The pick and roll.
He's crashing the boards. Mm-hmm. They could say,
"Yep, yeah, he's screaming absolutely. No blood, no foul." All the good YMCA basketball stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that was not. It was just me shooting around. And then on the other side of the court, there was an older person shooting, mm-hmm. and he was way better at hitting shots than I was.
Boy, that hurts a bunch more.
It's the whole setup was engineered specifically to strategically humiliate me, and I walked right into it.
Mm-hmm. And at no point you challenged this older gentleman to a game of one-on-one.
Absolutely not.
Oh,
absolutely not.
If you want to save any face. You knock that guy down to the ground. You lay up
you
over
go
him.
Over mm-hmm. and you say, "Do you want to play?" He says, "Sure." Mm-hmm. You say, "Great." He says, "It's been a while." And I say, "Hey, man, me too. No problem. Friendly game." Mm-hmm. And you slap the rock. You throw an elbow to the face. Mm-hmm. And then you slam dunk it over his corpse. And that's how you get respect at the Y.
Then you stand over and you say, "My wife just called me. I have to go." And then you walk out.
Yeah. So
my kid has hand, foot, and mouth, I guess. I've got to leave.
That feels real. But yeah, so it went fine. Probably we'll go back and try again later.
Sounds great. Sounds so much fun.
Yeah, it's good. I felt accomplished. I felt strong. And now I'm sick, and I do not anymore.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And I had pizza tonight. So all of what I did means nothing anymore. Well, gosh, anything else you want to talk about?
I mean, you could talk about my week, I guess.
I think I did ask you already how your week
was. Yeah, and I probably said nothing.
I went something about cognac from a turkey.
I went and saw another movie. Hello?
You what?
I did. I went and saw another movie.
In a theater?
Uh-huh. A popular movie as well. In fact,
which one?
The most popular movie in the land last weekend.
Let me guess. Is it a Garfield movie?
No.
Those are surprisingly popular when they come out.
Getting warmer.
Oh.
I went and saw the Taylor Swift. The Taylor Swift movie. Yeah.
Oh.
That's a good facial expression.
Yeah.
I would more say I chaperoned a trip to see the Taylor Smith documentary.
Smith. Yeah, it seems like you're a real big super fan.
I don't know if she actually prefers to go by Taylor Smith. when she gets married, that's what she's going to change her name to.
Yeah, so will Travis.
Yes. Yeah.
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 So it was timed with the album release.
Yes, the album came out, and then we saw it on the same day.
Is a documentary about the making of the album, or is it just about her?
It's just kind of goes through each song of the album, and like a few minutes, she explains her inspirations or whatever, and then they just play the song.
Tell me about how she explained the track Wood.
So it's funny. They play a heavily, heavily modified version of that song that is still not heavily modified enough. Mm-hmm. And yeah, she just sort of says, "Oh yeah, it's about bad luck or something." And they're like, "Really?" And she goes, "Yep, that's all it's about." And then they play the song. Uh-huh. Okay, fair enough.
Yep.
Fair enough.
She knows her audience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Boy, oh boy. Did they talk about how the fact that she talks about her own dick? album?
They didn't, you know, it, not in that one. It was, that was a, it was very PG, like a low PG.
Yeah. It's not a very PG album.
Right. Well, they released a PG version of the album. So oh, did they? If you go on Spotify, there's always, there's like the explicit version of the album, and then there's like a PG version of the album.
That's so lame.
Pretty lame.
Have the courage of your convictions, Taylor.
Pretty lame. Pretty
tell
lame.
8-year-old girls about how you have a girl dick. I dare you. Well, what do you think? Well, on a scale of 1 to 10?
I like Superman more. I did. I think I like Superman more.
Oh, no.
As the only two like newish movies I've seen in the last 10 years, I have to like put them on some sort of spectrum together because that's all I have, really.
Yeah.
So Superman here, Taylor Swift movie, whatever the hell it was called, lower.
Chalk went up for James Gunn.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Man needed a win, finally. anything else from your week?
No, that was it. That was the highlight right there.
Cool.
Absolute highlight.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was great.
All right. Well, do you want to hear a ghost story?
Please.
Before we begin, I want to ask you. So last time, of course, we introduced a new game, Trope-a-Dope, mm-hmm. and you did very badly.
I did. I got 1 out of 3, I recall.
Yeah. So that's an F.
Correct. Well, yes. Yeah. On a Catholic school scale.
Yeah, right. Not a progressive school scale. Your 33% would have been an automatic 50% B.
Mm-hmm. And I would have gotten to retake it, too, just so you know.
Oh, for sure.
It would have let me retake it.
With open notes. Yeah, yeah. But I do want to offer you the chance. Now, this is not one that I would necessarily say is kind of, it's not like a trope we've worked on before,
mm-hmm.
but we could play Trope-a-Dope with this if you want a chance at redemption.
Yeah.
Right after.
Love games.
Right, I'm going to have to play the theme song. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Am
I going to hear the theme song this time or not?
No, I don't.
Perfect.
I don't know. You tell me. I'll tell you this. I haven't changed a thing on the board. So. All right. Well, first we're going to do a normal sound because we're going to start the story first.
Yeah.
That's the worst one. God damn. All right. Okay. So Arizona Donnie Clark.
Oh, I'm in love. I'm in love.
Was born on October 8th, 1873,
mm-hmm.
in Ash Grove, Missouri.
Okay.
Are you familiar with Ash Grove?
It sounds familiar. I couldn't place it on the map, though.
I bet you could get. You want just take a guess. Where do you think Ash Grove? Where do you think? Let me put it this way. Mm-hmm. Where do you think a story for this podcast would take place in Missouri?
Boy, I'm going to have to go with southeastern Missouri.
Oh, so close. Southwestern.
Oh, that was my second guess.
Between Springfield and Joplin.
Okay.
Is old Ash Grove. So that should tell you where the story's going. Now, this is where we can do a version of our new game, Trope-a-Dope. Did you hear that?
I did not. But I'll dance along. I heard it on the broadcast today. But
yeah, and you heard it, and I didn't send the file to Jeremy. And you hear the other song, the other noises.
The other one sounded a little bit like throw-up noises. Was that what it was?
Yeah, you heard this one.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. You can hear that one. Judging by your face, I think you can.
No. Nothing.
Okay. All right. Anyway, I'm being played here. So, welcome to back to Trope-a-Dope. Patrick, this time, instead of three tropes, we've done several stories that started in Missouri before.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And there are some patterns. And now this is sort of a Venn diagram pattern, overlap pattern of Missouri stories that start in Missouri and also just kind of stories and how they go on this podcast.
Uh-huh.
All right. Yep. So thinking of these two
things
together.
They go poorly. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Correct. Thinking of these things together, I want you to tell me, if you can, three other states that our characters will explore aside from Missouri in this episode of Is This a Ghost?
I'm going to say Kansas. That seems like an easy one.
Okay.
Right next door. I'm going to kind of leapfrog a little bit. I'm going to go into Ohio. Everyone goes to Ohio this time.
Oh,
at that time. And then I'm going to end it with good old Tennessee. Kansas, Ohio, Tennessee.
Okay, Kansas, Ohio, Tennessee. Great. Here we are in our second game, second round of Trope-a-Dope. Okay, it's not fun if you can't hear it. So, you're going to love that in like a week when you hear this on the podcast. Anyway, okay, so Arizona Donnie Clark, October 8th, 1873, mm-hmm. Ash Grove, Missouri. Her parents,
Oh, Arizona's a gal.
She's a gal.
Oh, dude.
Arizona Donnie is a gal. Arizona Donnie Clark.
Gals named after states should be illegal.
Well, funny you say that.
Absolutely illegal. Okay.
Just couldn't keep your pants down with bolts.
They were stapled to the floor. I'm sorry.
Have you ever met in real life a woman named after a state?
No. No, I have not.
Thank God. Yeah. Thank God for all of us.
I'm still here, aren't I?
All right. Okay. So her parents, John and Emmeline, they called her Airy.
They gave.
Yeah, I know.
I know. If you got time to name your kid a cool name, you got time to call them the cool name. What?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Airy. That's fine. Airy. Sure.
Do you think that Raising Arizona is named in honor of. It might be, actually. Yeah. You don't know the story, so how would you know? But. Now that I think about it.
Is Arizona a state at this point? What year is this?
1873.
Probably a state.
I don't know, but the Coen brothers almost certainly know this story. I bet they named Arizona. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
So anyway, when she is 19, Airy moves. Mary, you're Googling this right now?
1912. Arizona
becomes a state?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When was it American territory, though?
Sure. American turf. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so Arizona goes, when she's not, where are we? Okay.
She's going nowhere. She's done nothing.
When she's 19, Arizona marries a man named George Barker.
Mm.
And over time, they have four sons. Their sons' names are Herman, Lloyd, Arthur, and Fred.
Boy, that's a tough crew right there. That's a real tough crew.
Yes, it is.
Those four guys show up for a show. And you are getting your ass kicked to the back of the venue.
Herman, Lloyd, Arthur, and Fred, the Barker boys. Mm. George works a variety of, quote, low-paying jobs. So he's fun. He spent a few years at the Crystal Springs Water Company.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the 1920s, he went on to be a farmer. Okay. And then a watchman.
Mm-hmm.
And then a station engineer.
Okay.
And then a clerk.
I would love that life. Something new every 10 years till you die. Yeah,
I think this was all within 10 years. So I think it's a couple years here, a couple years there. Riding the rails of professionalism. One FBI document describes him as shiftless. And says that the Barkers paid no attention to their son's education.
Which boy was he? Which where is he? Is he the first one?
George is the dad.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Okay.
Yeah. And then the boys are Herman, Lloyd, Arthur, Fred.
Right. Okay.
Now, you're not going to have to worry about a couple of them in a second.
Perfect. So, right.
We'll narrow it down. But yeah, Herman, Lloyd, Arthur, Fred are the boys. George is the dad. Arizona is the mom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The FBI calls George shiftless. They labeled the boys, the sons, as, quote, more or less illiterate.
Hmm.
Now, Arizona's sons start committing crimes as early as 1910. That's when Herman, who is the oldest boy, he was arrested for highway robbery after running over a child in the getaway car.
Oh.
I think that's his first crime.
That's, what did he get charged with?
Highway robbery.
Okay.
probably also manslaughter, I would guess.
Like the definition of robbery has expanded, apparently.
Yeah. So that was his first crime. Robbery went fine. Getaway,
not so
very
fine.
Not fine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was all downhill from there for Herman. Over the next few years, the Barker boys were involved in, quote, crimes of increasing seriousness. Mm-hmm. They started with murder, with robbery and accidental murder, and then they escalated to intentional murder.
Okay.
And the boys found a nice crime family out of state with the Central Park Gang in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Oh, dang it.
That's a big X right there.
Yep.
Tulsa, Oklahoma. Kansas is a good guess, but they went up the other way. They went down the other way. They were southwest.
I know. Okay.
It's Oklahoma territory.
Okay. I got two more on the board here. I'm good. Two more on the board.
So they were with the Central Park Gang, which is one of the least threatening gang names I've ever heard in my life.
Central Park Gang. We stay out after sundown. What?
Ma'am, I arrested your boys for jaywalking again. Had to put a leash on these boys. But they were actually a pretty serious gang, and things really kicked into high gear for the Barker boys once they joined up. On August 29th, 1927, they stage a robbery. And during this robbery, a bank robbery, Herman Barker shoots a police officer at point-blank range in the mouth.
Mm.
So then Herman runs to his getaway car, and he does indeed get away for a bit. But then he crashes the car and is seriously injured. And so the cops are close behind.
Right.
It's not looking good for him. So in order to keep from being arrested, he shoots himself in the brain.
Oh.
And Herman is out. Herman's off the board.
So
don't worry about Herman anymore. As for the other three Barker boys, the next year, 1928, Lloyd, let's see. So this goes in order. Okay, so this is going to go in order of age. Now, Lloyd is incarcerated at Leavenworth.
Oh, okay.
Oh, in Kansas. Oh, you know what?
Ding, 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 ding. It's booty time.
Wait. Nope. Bot up.
Wham! It's booty time.
Where's,
thank you.
Where's my button?
No, that was right there.
Okay. Okay, great. So, Leavenworth, Kansas. Lloyd is in Leavenworth. Arthur is in the Oklahoma State Penitentiary. And Fred is in the Kansas State Penitentiary. They're all in jail. They're all in big prison. It didn't take them long. In that year, 1928, that was the last year that George Barker is on record as living with his wife, Arizona, in Tulsa.
Okay. As in, like, he dies? Or that's just like, are they split?
He's out. He's fine. But he's not. Now, some folks say that she threw him out.
Mm-hmm.
But most people think, quote, he left when life became intolerable with his criminal family. According to crime writer Miriam Allen DeFord, George, quote, gave up completely and quietly removed himself from the scene after Herman's death and the imprisonment of all of his other sons. It's like, I don't know what's happening here, but I don't think so. This is not for me. This is not what I thought being a dad would be.
Mm-hmm.
These prisons are all so far away. I can't see all my boys. I'm just out. Now, if you ask the FBI, which I know you are wont to do, they would tell you that George left Arizona because she had become, quote, loose in her moral life.
Oh.
And was, quote, having outside dates with other men.
Oh. Well.
I mean, you named her after a state. What did you expect?
I told you at the beginning, they're going to come calling.
And I think I forgot to put a picture of her. Let me grab a picture of Arizona for you. That one can't be real. Let's see this one. This is from later in her life. So I'm not posting this necessarily to entice you.
I'll be able to tell.
You got taste.
Okay. She's got a little bit of a Mama Fratelli thing going on here. So
yeah. Yeah. Which is kind of fitting, really. That's Ma Barker. She starts going by Ma.
Okay.
Ma Barker. Sure. So Arizona, now she's Ma, because she's a mom.
Yeah,
she's a loving mother of real degenerates, and that's how everyone knows her.
Mm-hmm. None of my sons are around to like correct me or say they don't like that name because they're all in jail. So
I'm Ma
now.
Let's see. So she gets loose in her moral life, maybe according to the FBI at least. According to a family friend, George and Arizona argued a lot about their kids being criminals. George was not into it. And Arizona, though, was like, this is boys. What are you going to do?
It's boys will be boys. Do. Sometimes boys they shoot a police officer in the mouth.
That's right. Yep. Those will go to Leavenworth. I don't know. That's his boys. The last straw for George.
You wanted them to have a career. No, you don't want them to have a career.
Why don't you go back to work at the water company, you loser? Let's see. The last straw for George seems to have been when Lloyd was arrested. He's like, this is all done. So George, he refused to try to get his son freed, insisting that he should serve his time for being a criminal. In Arizona, I was like, that's not right. How dare you? Mm-hmm. What a bad father you are. Would you try to get your kids out of prison if they robbed banks and shot a police officer in the face?
I think so. I'd like to think so. Yeah, I'd like to think so.
Right?
Sure.
Yeah. You love your girls.
Yeah. YOLO. You know what I mean? Yeah. YOLO.
Yeah. That's how we raise children.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Consequence free.
Yeah. You see what ICE is doing, honey? That's how you could live your life. Mm-hmm. No consequences. Do whatever you want. By this point in her life, Arizona had come to be more... Ma Barker. I told you that already. Mm-hmm. How embarrassing. Here's one of my favorite quotes from all the research. Quote, from 1928 to 1930, Ma lived in miserable poverty in a dirt floor shack with no husband and no job while all her sons were in jail.
Mm.
Just as it paints a picture. This may be when she becomes, quote unquote, loose with other men, as the FBI have stated.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine she is just irresistible at this point.
I think it might be more of a survival thing on her point. Yeah. Call me Ma.
Call me Ma. Don't get any dirt on the floor. Oh, wait. It's all dirt.
By 1930, Ma was living with an unemployed winner named Arthur W. Dunlop. In the 1930 census of Tulsa, she is described as his wife, though we don't think that was actually true. In the end, they will have been together long enough to become common law, husband and wife, but probably not true. They're probably just lying to the census people. But, so things are going bad. It's a dark period.
Yeah, sounds like it.
For Ma Barker. But in 1931, Fred is released from Kansas Penitentiary. And things start to turn around pretty quickly. Because Fred immediately joins a former prison mate named Alvin Karpis. And together they form the Barker Karpis Gang.
Oh, not a great name, but.
Well, and I have this question written down, actually. Mm-hmm. If you and I formed a gang, who would get top billing?
I mean, it's kind of a pinky in the brain type situation here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're obviously the muscle. I'm obviously the brains.
Clearly. I did say this whole story about being at the Y.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's probably have to be you, because you have to go like intimidating first, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So like the Smith-Dean gang. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's better. Because like Smith & Wesson is also doing a lot of heavy lifting for us.
Oh, yeah. Like with cooking like oils.
Unconscious association. Yeah. Sure. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's what I mean. yeah. Because... Dean Smith gang.
Yeah,
I don't sounds like your name is Dean Smith.
Yeah,
and I've got a gang.
Yeah,
yeah.
I do like that.
Actually, though. It's kind of nice. Yeah, okay. I don't, you know what? I don't like that. I like.
Yeah,
no.
What I like about that is though, if we're the Dean Smith gang, we kind of always have this this stand-in, right? This like this.
Oh, that's true. It's like persona.
Yeah, this persona that I always call it the boss of it all. You ever seen the movie The Boss of It All?
No.
It's comedy about somebody who's like a personnel manager in an office, and he's trying to like get the office workers to do what he wants them to do, and he keeps blaming it on the boss of it all. Well, it's not me asking you to do this, it's the boss of it all. And then anyway, so just like a pretend figure that we can just blame everything on. Yeah, Dean Smith. Oh man, you know, Dean Smith, he's breathing real hard on us. He really wants us to
shoot this cop in the mouth.
Yeah. I don't know.
Got to hit our numbers this week. I don't know, man. It's not us, it's Dean Smith. I like that idea. We could always make some dumb patsy be Dean Smith.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he gets lynched, and then we're out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Oof. Ooh. All right. I'm coming around. I'm coming around. You can have top billing. But the Barker Karpis gang is a bad name. but they're pretty successful as gangs go. They rob a bunch of banks, and that leaves them with a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly Ma is living the high life once again.
Ooh. Getting some linoleum put over the dirt in here.
On December 19th, 1931, Fred and Karpis, they're doing a job in West Plains, Missouri.
I know West Plains.
Do you?
That was where I took a trip down to West Plains in November.
But enough about your honeymoon.
Mm-hmm. Very sexy.
The sexiest of all plain cities. What did you do in West Plains? What sites did you see there?
Oh, I saw the Hilton Garden Inn. That was really pretty. Really pretty.
They've done a nice job with those.
Yeah.
It's a nice sub-brand. Yeah.
Yeah. That was the one where, that town is currently dominated by a massive Super Walmart at the center of it. And everything in the town is basically referenced off that Super Walmart. So every store, everything is just like a spoke off of the Super Walmart hub.
A very Anomaly Flats vibe to it.
Mm-hmm, indeed.
Did you see any tentacles there?
I was only there for 2 days. But
no, if so you can see tentacles there in 2 days, there's no tentacles because they like to make themselves known. Well, Fred and Karpis also loved West Plains, Missouri, just like you do. And on December 19th, 1931, they kill the sheriff.
Oh.
A man named C. Roy Kelly. C. Roy. C. period Roy, no period Kelly.
C. Roy die. C. Roy die in the street.
C. Roy bleed out like a bitch. The authorities do not like this, of course. Mm. And the boys do, they have to leave the state.
Mm, yep.
They're out of Missouri. And so Ma and her unemployed Prince Dunlop go with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're on the lam. They use a bunch of false names, and they're on the run. A wanted poster from the time offers a $100 reward for the capture of old lady Ari Barker as an accomplice.
She's like, I made myself the coolest name, and you will not use it.
And you sons of bitches. Old lady. That's insult. She's probably, what year? Okay. This is 1931. She was born in 1873. All right. She's like 50.
Yeah.
I mean, that for this time, I'm going to give it to him. let's see here. Old lady Ari Barker. As an accomplice. Now, $100 today. You want to guess how much that is?
$2,000.
Exactly, $2,000.
Woo!
You're getting so good at this.
I am getting so good at the math
portion. We've been doing this show a long time.
Can we change the rope-a-dope rules real quick? Because I'm going to...
We'll do a new game. We'll start a new game. A cool new sound for you and everything. One that you can hear. $2,000 today. Exactly. Very good. So it's not really too much.
Right.
Like, if you're offering people $2,000, like, I don't get out of bed for less than $10.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to turn a criminal in for less than $10,000.
Yeah. I can't buy a used Hyundai with that. No. It's not moving the needle.
No. If I can't pay my hospital bill with it when said criminal finds out that I'm the one who turned them in, I'm not interested. But a few months later, Arthur, another one of her sons, also released from prison.
Oh.
And I think, so Herman's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Lloyd is out.
Mm-hmm.
No, Fred is out.
Right.
Arthur's out. I think we don't hear about Lloyd anymore.
Okay.
Where's poor Lloyd? Lloyd? I'm going to control F Lloyd. That doesn't seem right. Lloyd. That's it. Lloyd's gone. Lloyd's out of the story.
Fair enough.
He might just stay. He's one in Leavenworth, so he might have done something big bad. So he might just be there forever. But the other son is out. Arthur is out, and he joins. Of course, he joins the Barker Karpis gang.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you leave prison, they don't make you sign a thing saying you won't.
Right. And even if you did,
huge mistake.
You're a criminal. So like,
yeah, it's like,
fuck, do you care?
Okay.
I'll sign anything you put in front of me. It really doesn't matter.
But we notarized it. So he joins a gang and they only have to change a name because he's still a Barker. It's so cool. So they could do the law firm thing, Barker, and Karpis, which would have been pretty fun, but they don't choose to do that.
Until you get business cards printed, you really don't have to go to that length. It's not that big a deal.
It's true. And so then the gang moves once again out of state, and they move to Chicago.
Oh, really?
Chicago. Mm. It's a long way to go. For
it
this.
Is.
Yeah. But they leave not too long after they get there because Karpis didn't want to work for Al Capone.
Oh, okay.
So, I don't know, that's an interesting move. Probably a smart move.
Yeah, I mean...
unless you're good at working for Al Capone.
Sure.
Then it's a bad move. Now, at the time, St. Paul, Minnesota had something of a reputation as a safe haven for wanted criminals.
I went the exact wrong direction.
They head to the Twin Cities. I know. It's the Ohio of the western side of Chicago.
That's for sure. That's what it says on the flag.
That's right.
So yeah.
So you were in some way very close, and in other ways just so very far. So go to Minnesota. When this is where the Barker Karpis gang's most infamous crimes are committed.
Mm-hmm.
Here is another even more perfect quote. I would say. The gang operated under the protection of St. Paul's police chief, Thomas Big Tom Brown, and they went from being bank robbers to kidnappers under his guidance.
I don't see why not.
Those rumors of St. Paul being a good place for criminals is legit. So things are going pretty well, and the only weak link in the chain is old Dunlop.
Oh, no.
Old unemployed Dunlop.
Mm.
Because Dunlop, I mean, he likes to drink.
Mm-hmm.
Who among us, you know?
Indeed. You're living in Minnesota? I don't know of a whole lot of other pastimes up there. So
no, yeah. Jen Jones is going to weigh in on this one because iTag intern, friend of the show, Jen Jones, lives in there, and she knows. She knows. Mm-hmm. And just like Jen Jones, when Dunlop drank, he tended to have loose lips.
Mm.
And one day, while the gang was hiding out in a rented apartment, another resident in the building recognizes them from photographs in True Detective magazine. What a fucking time to be alive. The media diet available to you in like 1935 was so cool. So they recognize him. Now, the resident tells the police mm-hmm. that she thinks that she knows. And the police right. chief tips the boys off because he's
yep.
paid for.
Because he's part of it. So
yep. And so, of course, they escape before the police get there.
Mm-hmm. With the real police.
Yeah, the real. Yeah. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
What a tangled web. Like, oh, man. Oh, guys, you got to get out. The police are coming. But aren't you the police? Well, yes. Okay, yes. But, like, the real police are coming.
It's got to be. And you're the police chief. You're yeah. the chief of the real police. It's got to be so fucking stressful. This is what I think. Like, among all the reasons I could never have an affair, one of them is it would be so stressful.
Yeah.
And this is like an affair times 10. Because you're just fucking everybody. Like, it's crazy. No, thank you. Anyway. So the boys get out okay, but they do not like having to leave. They don't like, you know, the hassle.
Sure.
And they accuse Dunlop of giving up their location.
Ooh.
Which Dunlop probably did not do.
Yeah, he doesn't seem capable of much.
No. He's just along for the ride. So the boys, quote, murdered him while traveling.
Oh.
Dunlop's naked body was found near Webster, Wisconsin, with a single bullet wound to the head.
I missed Wisconsin, too. I was going to guess that one.
Yeah, there's a lot of options here. We still got more coming up.
Yeah.
You might be okay. You might be okay.
Okay.
So that's it for Dunlop.
Okay.
And Ma Barker seems to be okay with this. He's a real loser. Then the gang relocates to a town called Menemone.
Mmm.
Do 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 do.
Menemone.
Do 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 do. Menemone.
Do do
do do do do do. Crime. But, you know, the gang is doing murders and stuff. And they don't actually know if Ma's cool, like, especially since they did murder her husband. So they do all this stuff, and she doesn't talk much about it, but they're like, do you guys think Mom's good with it? She's been pretty quiet lately. So just to keep themselves away from her potentially withering stares, Fred starts hiding her in a series of hotels. Away from gang activity.
I mean, that's it's like a little vacation. I would do this for my mother.
I think it would be great.
Absolutely, would. Yeah.
If I were Ma Barker and I was like all on board with all the crimes, I would still pretend not to be, so that they would put me in hotels all the time. That's the move. She's playing chess. Yeah. They're playing checkers. This keeps her away from the crimes, and it also keeps her away from the boys' girlfriends, all of whom Ma apparently absolutely hates so much. And once again, who among us? Who among us hasn't dated the wrong women, you know? But the crime's going great. The boys drive back down to St. Paul, and they kidnap William Ham Jr.
Hey. Okay.
Heir to the...
The Ham Beer?
Correct.
The dynasty?
Heir to the Ham's Brewery. Now, it was, I assume, held in higher regard than it is now. But yeah, they kidnap an executive from Ham's, one of the Ham's himself, William Ham Jr., and they get $100,000 for his safe return.
Wow.
So it's a big payday.
Do you know how many Ham's beers you have to sell to earn $100,000?
Literally all of them.
Yeah, like the whole shebang.
7 years. The brewery and everything. So they do really well. And they're like, well, that worked out great. I don't even have this one written down, but since you're a savant here, what is $100,000 today? It's like $2
million. $2 million, right?
Yeah, right? If we're going by the same math.
Yeah.
If math is to be trusted. So that's a lot of money for one for one job. So they're making like gangbusters here. Let's do another one. And so then they kidnap a man named Edward Bremer.
Mm-hmm.
Edward Bremer was the heir to the Schmidt Brewery.
Okay.
So they've got a type.
Mm-hmm.
Edward was also the president of the Commercial State Bank.
Ooh, double dipping.
So that's a big one. Yeah, yeah. They hold Edward for 21 days.
Oh.
But they finally get a $200,000 ransom.
Ooh, buddy.
So now we're at what, $4 million?
$4 million.
Cool, $4 million.
Mm-hmm.
So they are doing, they're doing so well. Mm. I'm so proud of our boys. They're doing great.
And mom keeps getting fresh flowers every morning in her hotel room. And she's like, I don't know where they're coming from, but it's great.
This is so good. Now, the only problem with all this was Edward Bremer's father, of course, was personal friends with President Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Oh. You'll want to research
suddenly,
that. Yeah.
The FBI is involved. And the FBI gets involved real hard.
Mm-hmm.
This is the J. Edgar Hoover days of the FBI.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And J. Edgar Hoover was a real dick.
Mm-hmm.
And he went hard. And this was no exception, certainly. So the gang is like, oh no. we should have Googled first to make sure there was no connection. They hightail it out of the Twin Cities. They head back to Chicago,
mm-hmm.
where they spend some time trying to launder the ransom money.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty smart. Now eventually I think they do a pretty good job with that. And then they're like, we should get out of here. Like mm-hmm. this whole part of the country. It's a little hot yep. for us right now. So, but also, like, the guy's fine. They didn't murder him.
Yeah.
It's fine. So I don't know what the big deal is. Yeah. But they want to leave. But Arthur Barker, he's like, I like Chicago. I want to stay here.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, Arthur, I think we should leave. He's like, I don't know. They got deep dish. That's so good. Have you guys tried hot dogs?
Yeah.
It is the best.
Have you tried the fries? Have you guys tried the fries? No?
Oh, really? Oh, man. Well, no wonder you want to leave. So Arthur stays in Chicago, and the rest of them, they leave town, including Ma Barker.
Wow.
And they're out of there. So the feds, unfortunately, they do come to Chicago a few months later, and they find Arthur, and they arrest him on January 8th, 1935. When they arrest him, they go through his pockets.
Mm-hmm.
And in one of his...
Probably find a lot of pork steaks, I would figure.
So much pork steaks. This one's a fully dressed Italian sausage. What is going on here? And you got it wet?
Yeah. Oh, why'd pocket? You get a dip? This is disgusting. Come on.
I got to tell you, the thing I miss most about Chicago living now in Virginia is no one does Italian beef sandwiches.
Oh.
And it's, this whole state is ripe for opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
If my school closes ever, and it's looking more possible every day, I'm going to open an Italian beef, Chicago-style mm-hmm. Italian beef shop right downtown.
Absolutely. Yep.
Make tens of dollars, but my wages will be in my own product. I'll be so happy.
Get that neurotic guy from The Bear to come help you out. You'll be in great shape.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah. Jeremy Allen White or Oliver Platt. I could use either of them.
Yeah, easily. Yeah.
Yeah.
Platt seemed
my favorite would be Ebon. I want Ebon to come down. He's so good. Anyway, where are we here? So, the feds come to Chicago. They arrest Arthur. They go through his pockets. They find the sausage. And then they also find in one of his pockets a map. And the map has some circles on it. And the circles are all the gang's hideouts. I don't know why you're carrying this around in your pocket.
In case I get lost.
And need to find mom. Yeah. So that's a whoops. Now, one of those spots on the map, get my, here you go, to mark this down, was a town called Oklawaha, Florida.
Oh.
Ooh.
I almost changed Tennessee to Florida. At the very end, I thought, Florida would be a good pick for this.
Yeah. Well, now, this is a tough game of Tropidope. Strangely, most of the stories that end up in Florida go through Chicago. Because the We Live Inside people mm-hmm. went to Chicago first, yep. the Core Shanity yep. people, mm-hmm. and then there was one other one I think that went to Chicago and then Florida.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big
yeah.
migration path.
Yeah, I know there was ones that started in Wisconsin and went down to Florida.
Yeah, yeah. So you know. But how are you to know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now I do.
This is two losses in a row, by the mm-hmm. way.
Boop, boop, that's, boop, fine. Boop. That's fine.
You got one for three both times.
Halloween's coming up, just so you know.
Sweet vengeance will be yours. Anyway, so one of the spots on the map is a town called Oklawaha, Florida. The FBI, they go south, and they are eventually able to track down the house. And here's how they did that. When they arrested Arthur, they also found a handful of letters that his brother had sent him.
Seems like a backpack or something. What is he doing here?
They may have raided his house for okay. that one. The sources said the map was in his pocket, which is bad.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about the letters. They may have, I don't know. He's just like, he's just got cargo pants and he's got everything he's got in there. So they find this letter that his brother sent him. Mm-hmm. And in one of those letters, Fred references a local alligator known as Gator Joe.
This won't take long.
And this is apparently a pretty famous alligator that at the time lived in Lake Weir,
mm-hmm.
which is in this town in Florida. And so when Fred writes about Gator Joe, this gives the FBI like a quarter mile radius to start
yeah.
investigating. And they find the safe house, which is on Lake Weir. Mm-hmm. And before you ask, because I'm sure you're dying to, I will go ahead mm-hmm. and tell you that, yes, of course, there is currently a bar in Oklawaha called Gator Joe's. And one of the things they have on display at Gator Joe's is his foot. Would you like to see
it? I would love to see Gator Joe's foot.
This is Gator Joe's foot.
That is not a small foot.
It's a big foot. It is
also... It is currently, as they claim, on loan from the Lake Weir Chamber of Commerce.
Oh, man. But, but it's a big foot. I mean, if you think about this being legible text,
mm-hmm.
like the size of legible text, this yeah. is a big foot.
That is a big foot.
So Gator Joe is legend, and it's the undoing of the Barker brothers. Because the FBI don't have to work too hard to figure out what Gator Joe is. They get down there. They go to Florida. They find the house. And it is a two-story. The house is a two-story house built in the Florida cracker style.
I've seen many of them. I have seen many. Is it made out of shipping containers? Because that's...
It's made out of pallets.
Yeah.
It's typified by a low slung wood frame house with a large porch. Here is the house.
Okay, sure.
So this is the house.
Yeah.
It's Florida cracker.
Florida cracker style.
Just the best. And there was no place for this in the story. It's not really important. But at some point they move this house to a park.
Okay.
And to do that, they like put it on a bed. They lifted it up and they put it on a giant barge.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, this is a
wham!
Fun fact, I guess. They put it on a barge. And they, go ahead. I've cut you off three times now. Go ahead.
Number one, going back to the photo of the house looks like it's like smoking a meth pipe. I don't know if you noticed that, but
it's exactly correct. That's a great way to describe it.
But number two, like they float the house somewhere else.
This is like a picture of that too.
Okay.
Let's see. There you go.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's about what I expected. Yeah. That's a lot of spectators. A lot of people.
So many spectators. And I assume this guy down here is part of the crew, but like, I like to think that he's not because he's so close. Look at the, is that like Spanish moss on the roof?
I don't know. Yeah. I can't imagine the roof is in that bad of shape and worth moving across a lake. There's a huge piece of construction equipment on the barge too. I don't really know what the thought is here.
I think this must be the thing that has to pull it off. It must
be. I guess.
It must be. I don't know. It's so weird. We'll talk about some. We'll talk about the reason why I imagine that they're preserving this house, but we can then debate whether or not it's worth preserving a house. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's like a goddamn flotilla out here. Look at all these boats. If you're not watching the YouTube, friends, this is a good time to go check over and dip in just to see what this looks like, because it's wild. All right, so anyway, so they find the house, and now when when the Barkers got to the house, it was not for rent. It was just a house that a guy owned, and he lived there. But one day, the owner, a man named Carson Bradford, he receives a, quote, surprisingly substantial offer from someone representing a Mrs. T.C. Kate Blackburn, a, quote, sweet little old lady seeking a secluded cottage to enjoy quality time with her sons.
Okay.
And this was strange to Bedford. He said, I'm sorry, this isn't where I live. So right. It's not really for rent. He said, no. But then the offer increased, and it was accompanied by the full cash payment in advance.
Oh, okay.
And they wanted it for the entire summer. Or until, I'm sorry, till the end of summer.
Okay.
Because this is, I think, like December when they get down there. So it's a substantial amount of money. And so he's like, okay, I guess I'll find a new house, because financially that makes a lot of sense. So he gets his cash. So good for him. So the Barkers move in. The feds find the house through the Gator Joe connection.
Mm-hmm.
And they surround it on the morning of January 16th, 1935. I imagine January is not as cold in Florida as it is in some parts. But it's probably not like pleasant, is it?
Yeah. It's probably it's probably pleasant. I mean, there's still a lot of alligators, though.
They're wearing jackets. Yeah. There are alligators.
Yeah.
But they're not parkas. Now, what the agents didn't know is most of the gang members had left a few days earlier, leaving behind only Fred and Ma Barker inside. So the agents order everyone inside the house to surrender. They think the whole Barker Carpus gang is in there. They order everyone to surrender. But the people, Fred and Ma, are like, that's not a good idea. We're not doing that.
I'll wait him out. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Well, this is when Fred opens fire.
Oh, so impatient.
And what then unfolds is, according to the official Ma Barker House website, the longest gun battle in FBI history.
Ooh, wow.
So I want you to guess the time, but I will give you the context here. Just a reminder, is an entire team of FBI agents have surrounded this house with two people inside. It's 1935. It takes a lot to load a gun.
Sure.
How long do you think the shootout lasted?
Oof.
I mean, realistically, don't say like 9 days, because that's obviously stupid.
I'll say 12 hours. 12 hours.
I knew this wasn't going to work. This goes on 4.5 hours.
No, that's a lot of shooting.
It is a lot. It's not sounds 12.
Very loud. Even for Florida, that's a lot of shooting at each other.
But it's 4.5 hours of people, like, there's no downtime. They're just shooting at each other.
Right.
The amount of ammo you must have stashed in your house to have a 4.5 hour shootout with the FBI is insane.
Can you imagine how smoky the house is by the end of all this?
I mean, oh my God.
It's so gross.
They died from smoke inhalation. This is what happened. It's unbelievable. So the shootout goes on for 4.5 hours. This is so long that, quote, many local people came to watch the events unfolding, even holding picnics during the gunfire.
No more Florida pastime than putting together a picnic to watch your neighbor get shot by the feds.
Babe, make some sandwiches. The FBI's raiding the Barkers. So this goes on for, it's basically a fifth of a day, which is a long time, I feel like, for a good fight. And finally, gunfire stops coming from the house. So the FBI, they're thinking like, I think we got them.
Yeah.
But they don't know that they got them.
Yeah.
They're a little nervous to go in and find out. And so they grab the estate's handyman, a guy named Willie Woodbury,
mm-hmm.
and they give him a bulletproof vest, and they send him inside to see if the Barkers are dead. You go do it. I know we're trained at everything, but you go do it. Also, a bulletproof vest in 1935 has to be made of like pillows.
Yeah, it's like the one from Back to the Future. It's like a stove lid put underneath your shirt. That's it. That's the whole thing.
So Willie goes in. I mean, the tension is through the roof. Eventually, he comes back out and says, "Yes, everyone inside is dead."
Whew.
And they find Fred and Ma in the same bedroom upstairs. Fred's body is riddled with bullets.
Mm-hmm.
Ma had only a single bullet wound. She died with a Tommy gun in her hands. Their bodies were put on public display for a while, as was custom for that weird FBI under Chad Gruber. They did that a lot. Fucking weirdos. Eventually, they were buried at Williams Timber Hill Cemetery in Welch, Oklahoma, next to the body of Boer Herman Barker, who had shot his own head off after shooting a police officer's own head off. Their bodies may be in Oklahoma, but their spirits have never left Florida.
Mm.
If you visit the Ma Barker house today, which we have noted has moved to protected land so no one can tear down the house, go figure, you are likely to hear the sounds of wood on wood. This is back. So it comes full circle to howdy doody porn.
Is it wood on redwood, though? That's my question.
which is the sound of a chair being slid on a wood floor up in the room where Ma and Fred died. I can't believe I'm thinking about ways to incorporate howdy doody porn merch into our lineup. I even wore my ghost hat today thinking like, oh, maybe I'll remind people that we have some cool merch items. Mm-hmm. Now it's like,
and like God, howdy doody, nothing's going to be as cool. It's howdy doody ventriloquism porn.
Okay, let me pitch you something.
Mm-hmm.
A howdy doody type doll, obviously made of wood.
Yes.
His penis, though, is like Pinocchio's nose. It's just out there, but it's got like leaves on it and stuff. Do we think that's a top seller? It's a little blue.
I do like it. A little blue. I do like it. I also like the solid wood ventriloquism dummy, but the only thing that isn't solid wood is like a little like flaccid dude hanging off.
I just don't think, I don't know if we can do, I don't know. I don't know what the censorship laws are in this country.
I don't know.
Everything's changing so fast.
I'm sure there's some sort of ventriloquism carve out somewhere, but I don't know. Do we fall in there? I don't know.
Given how wooden J.D. Vance is, it must be. Sorry. I don't know why I said that. It's a bad joke. Anyway, so wood on wood. Sometimes the furniture is actually seen moving all on its own.
Ooh.
You might also hear the sounds of footsteps going up and down the stairs at night. Sometimes people hear loud talking, though no one seems to be able to discern what's actually being said.
Mm-hmm.
Feels very Floridian. Back in the 1970s, a local medium did a seance in the house and claimed that Fred's ghost had moved on, which is such good news. Good for Fred.
He finally finished his business.
He finished his one-on-one business. he watched enough Howdy Doody that he finally did it. He did it enough times. But the medium refused that. Ma refuses to leave, and she is still there to this day.
Hmm.
And that is the story of the Ma Barker House in Oklawaha, Florida. This is a real ride. I tell you, I was not expecting such fun left turns like Gator Joe.
Yeah.
Here or a longest shootout in FBI history. Pretty good. What do you think?
It's wild.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that.
What a life. What a life they had.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun. That's why I just go to work every day.
Yeah. Why would any father want to get away from all this? It seems so exciting.
Yeah. I mean, in his defense, it got more exciting after he left.
True. Yeah.
So maybe he was holding them back.
He probably finished his life doing the most boring, mundane shit and like reading about his sons in the paper, just kind of wistfully, like, huh.
They met Al Capone.
He shot another police officer. No.
Oh, they know the Hams family.
Oh, that's it. Oh. Oh.
They know alligators. They're in Florida. It's so warm there. Yeah. Any other thoughts? You lost Tropidope again. I'm sorry.
I know.
But it was kind of a fake Tropidope. It doesn't really count.
No, no. It counts. It all counts. Okay, no matter how fake it is, it all counts.
Good. I'm tattooing every loss on my skin. So good. Well, I guess that's going to do it for us this week. Is This a Ghost? Is a production of Smith Show Media. All the notes this week were taken by me. My name's Clayton Smith. All the funny jokes were from Patrick Dean. Our audio editor is Jeremy Montoya. Our video editor is Jen Swanson. Jen Swanson also does our website. Thank you so much, Jen and Jeremy and everybody. You're all so great. I don't mean to play favorites. Our social media team is, I think Kai Velonis is still on there. I have not heard. I'll tell you, I haven't heard from Kai in fucking months. So, Kai, if you're alive, proof of life would be appreciated. Yeah. We don't even care about the social media work. We just care about you. But also on that team, Jen Jones and Sam Murdoch, doing great work over there. And our merch, regrettably, from their end, Fox and Quill Studio, they've got a big task ahead of them, based on all the wood porn. So good luck to them, and go check them out on Instagram at Fox and Quill Studio. And that's it for us this week. And whatever you do, don't tell your friends about cool alligators, no matter how cool they are. Otherwise, we'll be talking about you next week on Is This a Ghost?